If you would go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalms 100 and keep that mark there, we'll be getting there in just a little bit. I've titled this message, A Thanksgiving Heart, using the text of Psalms 100. But as you're turning there, let me ask you a question. Have you ever met somebody who is never, it seems like they're never thankful for anything? And they always see that the glass is half empty, and they're always complaining about something, and that's just all that comes out of them. You know, it reminded me of a story that I ran across this last week. There was this man at a butcher shop. Butcher shops used to be a real thing. I remember going into Chula Vista on 3rd Avenue with my dad and going into the butcher shop, and he would say, I'd like a steak, and I like it about that thick, and the butcher's, no problem, Claire, we'll get it right for you. You know, you knew everybody. Well, he was standing in this butcher shop in line, and a dog walks in, and it's carrying a little kind of satchel, a purse, we'll call it a purse, and the dog walks right up to the meat counter, puts the satchel, the purse down on the ground, and the butcher just, you know, chuckled and said, are you here to buy some meat? And the dog goes, woof. And he goes, well, what kind of meat do you want? Do you want turkey? Do you want bacon? Do you want hamburger? Do you want steak? Woof. Okay. How much steak would you like? A half a pound? A pound? Woof. And the butcher goes, okay. And he throws up a pound of steak, wraps it all up, puts it in the little pack that the dog had on him, went into the little satchel of the purse, got the money out, and this guy that was standing in line was just astonished. That dog was so smart. He thought he'd follow him. So he got out of line and he followed this dog down the street. It made a left-hand turn, went into an apartment building, went up 3 flights of stairs, set the purse down, and started scratching at the door. And a man opens the door and starts yelling at the dog and just brutally making him feel like a dog. You, what is wrong with you? Why do you keep doing this? And finally, the guy that observed him that was in line goes, Mister, stop. This is the most intelligent dog I have ever seen in my entire life. And the man turns to him with disdain and goes, intelligent? This is the 3rd time this week that that dog has forgot his key. Somebody just said that was so bad it was funny. Have you ever known somebody, though, like that? Or maybe you're feeling that way today. You see something amazing, and it's met with less enthusiasm and an unthankful response for what you see. Or you may not even notice it at all. And yet, we as Christians are exhorted to just be the opposite. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So here we are being exhorted to give thanks as Christians in all things. And I know that you are Greek scholars, because all means what? All. So that means in all things we are to be able to give thanks. Now let's look at our text in Psalms 100. I want you to notice before it actually starts, it's talking about gladness and thanksgiving, the little titles above. And here it says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Let me read the whole thing to you. But then we're going to focus in on the last 2 verses. It says, make a joyful shout unto the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. pasture. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. This psalm tells us that we are to be thankful, and it tells us why we are to be thankful. In verse 4, this is actually an invitation by the Holy Spirit that we are to be giving thanksgiving. Look at verse 4 again. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So right from the beginning, we see that this psalm and what the Lord's heart for us to be is to be able to give thanks to God. And I wonder if we really take that to heart. Are we really people that are giving thanksgiving? Here in Psalms 100, it was actually written to the nation, the entire nation, to give thanks. And in this verse, it's an invitation to have a thankfulness of heart given by us to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is instructing us on how to come into the presence of God. I say the Holy Spirit because the New Testament tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God, and the Holy Spirit inspired the people that wrote these words. And here, the inspiration that God desires for us to have in our spiritual DNA, if you would, is to have a heart of thanksgiving. And one of the reasons that we are to have that heart of thanksgiving is because, one, what Jesus has done for us. But it's not just what he did for us on the cross. Turn with me, if you would, and leave your finger there, but go to Revelation chapter 3. And in verse 20, listen to the invitation that Jesus gives. And so often these verses are used in evangelical ways, which it applies. But in reality, if you take a look, a very close look at it, it's right after the letters to the churches in chapters 2 and 3. And then Jesus sums it up by saying, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. So it's an invitation to come into the presence of Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus, he comes in us. And I think way too often we forget that in our actions, in our lack of actions, if you would, by being a people of thanksgiving. Jesus was addressing the church there, to you and to me, to come into his presence and to have that sweet, sweet fellowship. I think that if we would actually spend the time in doing that, it would blow our minds when we really truly understand the nature of God and the glory of God. It's an honor to be invited into somebody's home, to partake of bread with them, to share a meal with them. Somebody invites you into their home, that's a privilege, and it's an honor. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm knocking. I'm inviting you to come in. And how are we to come in? With thanksgiving and praise on our heart. And that's so important. But yet, I think that we forget. And we're always looking for something else instead of looking for the maker of all things. And that's Jesus with the heart of thanksgiving. Too often, and let me ask you this question, have you seen God do an amazing thing, but you don't really acknowledge God that he did it? I think, to be honest, if we're honest with ourselves, I think many times we see God blessing us in ways that, you know, that are always could be pointed right back to the Lord. But we fail to take that time to say thank you to him. Or even acknowledge him that he is the bread of life that we have. Remember when Jesus was there with his disciples, he took that bread and he broke it. And what did he say? He said, this is my body. This bread is a resemblance of my body that is broken for you. Remember me when you partake of this. And I think we don't remember God enough in our daily activity. I think we get up in the morning, we do our little devotion, if you do it, and we get going in the day, and we don't include him in the things that we do. And we don't thank him for the things that happen in our daily walk. We just kind of get busy, and we don't have a heart of thanksgiving. When I was looking at this, I ran across a story that Max Lucado talked about when he lived down in Brazil when he was teaching at a university. And one day he was walking to the university to teach a class, and he felt a little tug on his pant leg. And he turned around, and there was a little boy, 5 or 6, dirty little face, dark eyes, just looking up at him. And the little boy said, bread, sir? Sir, bread, please? Well, Max Lucado says that normally he didn't pay any attention to any of those little boys because there's so many in Brazil, poor little boys on the street, and you can't feed them all. And if you give to one, then you neglect them all. So normally he would just not pay attention to the little boys in the street. But something grabbed his heart about this little boy, and he didn't know why. But he reached down and he took his hand and he says, follow me. And they walked over to a coffee shop that was in like a store. And Max ordered a cup of coffee. And then he said to the owner, he says, give this boy any pastry that he wants. Well, at the far end of the counter was where you would get your coffee. So he paid the owner. He walked down there to get his coffee, and then he started to walk around the store to see if there's anything else he needed before he would continue to go to the university. But all of a sudden, he was standing there, and he felt something. Someone was looking at him. He just had that feeling. You know how you have that feeling? Well, he turned around, and this little boy was looking up at him, still holding the pastry, hadn't taken a bite, and he looked at this big man. Oh, if he stood, his eyes maybe hid his belt buckle, but he looked up into his eyes as Max looked down. And he said, sir, thank you for this bread. Thank you for this bread. And Max Lucado didn't expect that at all, because if you would give a little boy some bread, he would run away into the streets and hide and eat it by himself. And yet this little boy stopped and took the time to find him in the store and to thank him. It took his mind, it blew his mind so much that he says he sat down for 30 minutes contemplating this little boy coming back. Contemplating and thinking about this little boy. How he came back and gave thanks. And then yesterday in the men's study, we read one of the devotions, and it talked about how Jesus healed the lepers, and one came back, a Samaritan, the only one to say thank you. And a Samaritan was despised by the Jews, half-breeds, they married heathens. We don't want nothing to do with Samaritans, and yet Jesus had a heart for them. Where do you think the Good Samaritan story came from? Who do you think he talked to at the well? It was a woman who was a Samaritan. Jesus was somebody that would love the unlovable, and he found those that would be thankful. And yet the Jewish people, so much, many of them were not thankful because the other 9 never came back. And I think the Christian body of Christ sometimes is not thankful for the many blessings that we have in this nation and what God has given to us and how God has poured out the mighty blessings that we have and how he has blessed us beyond what thanksgiving words wouldn't be enough for us to say. So I want to ask you this question. How do you respond to the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ? Or do you just take it for granted and just forget about it later on? Or do you accept God's invitation to draw close to Him with a heart of thanksgiving? Well, why should we have a heart of thanksgiving? What would motivate us to have a heart of thanksgiving? Back in Psalms 100, verse 5, it tells us what should be motivating us to have that heart of thanksgiving. Listen to what it says. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. So what is this that's causing the psalmist to be thankful, to come into his courts with praise and thanksgiving? I'll tell you what it is. It's the character of God, the conduct of God, God's love, God's faithfulness, his mercy throughout all of the ages. So, what motivates us to give thanks? What motivates us as individuals, as Christians, to give thanks in our daily life? But in reality, are we doing it justice this coming Thursday? Oh, it's a wonderful time to gather around family and enjoy family, but what is this Thursday really all about that we should be giving thanksgiving? What does this week really mean? Well, the roots of thanksgiving should carry our thoughts back to the first recorded Thanksgiving meal that was established in 1681, or was called for in 1681. It's first recording in North America. And it's when the Plymouth colonists, which we know as the Pilgrims today, we know them that way, that they and some Native Americans came together and they shared an autumn harvest celebration. Remember last week when I talked briefly about Thanksgiving Day, and I said I would like to say you all know the story, but we don't all know the story what this Thanksgiving Day is all about. If you did a survey today and asked people, is Thanksgiving a Christian holiday? The vast majority of people would say, no, or I don't know. And that would include Christians. What did you think when I said that right then? Is it a Christian holiday? Well, a lot of schools are not teaching what the real Thanksgiving is all about. And because of that, many people do not know and do not understand the background of Thanksgiving, that story of 1621. You see, while the Pilgrims were sailing over in the autumn from England to the new country in 1620 to be able to worship God, because they were running away from a government that was putting mandates and regulations and having a government religion that they were mandated to follow. They wanted to have the freedom to worship God the way God desired them to be able to worship. And now they're on the Mayflower. They're sailing over the sea, and they have absolutely no idea of what took place 15 years prior to that. For you see, it was in 1605 that a Native American by the name of Squanto, from a village there in Massachusetts, he met his first white man. And this man took him back to get involved with. Maybe like Squanto, God has been preparing you behind the scenes for such a long time to help a certain group of people in this church. Out of an overflow of what we have received in Christ, perhaps you begin to understand now that you have been blessed. And so now it's time to bless other people. Oh, I want to motivate you guys to do things. I want to motivate you the right way. I don't want to manipulate you. I want to motivate you. I don't want to be like the husband was listening to his wife complain day before Thanksgiving. They lived in Michigan. She said, I wish the kids would come home for Thanksgiving one year. You see, they had a son that lived in New York and a daughter that lived in California, and he finally got tired of hearing his wife say that all the time. So the dad walked into the other room, picked up the phone, and called his son and said, son, after 45 years of misery, enough's enough. I'm divorcing your mother. And you can call and tell your sister that too. And he hung up. Well, frantically, the brother calls his sister and tells him, dad's getting divorced. And he's tired. He went through the whole story, and the girl got irate and said, there's no way that's going to happen. There's no way they're going to get a divorce. She shouted at the brother and said, I'm going to take care of this. And she called her father, and he picked up the line. He goes, what are you thinking? What is wrong with you? You are not getting a divorce. Don't do anything until I get there. We're flying out. I'm calling my brother right now. We're flying out and taking care of this. We'll be there tomorrow. Dad just hung up and turned to his wife and says, hey, hon, kids will be here for Thanksgiving, and they're paying for the airfare, too. I don't want to manipulate you. I want to motivate you because of all the blessings that God has done in your life. I want the Holy Spirit to motivate you and to you be obedient to the things that God has called you to. So make sure that this time, this week, and especially on Thursday, you take time to celebrate, oh yes, with family. Enjoy that. Enjoy that so much. Eat turkey. Get turkey coma. That's fine. But give praise to God. Celebrate. This is a Christian holiday. The government has even given it to us, although they've removed Christ out of it. And mankind has done the same. And thank God for the blessings. And if you do, you are going to be blessed because you're keeping Jesus at the forefront. I pray and I hope that those that are around your table, you will explain what Thanksgiving is all about. And then you'll explain why you're thankful for what God has done in your life as a believing Christian and how he has redeemed you. And maybe take some time and let everyone around the table share what they're thankful for. And make sure that everyone is thankful for something that God has done. Not that dad burned the turkey, but what God has done. And if you do, you will have the very best Thanksgiving that you ever had, because you will be keeping Jesus in the center of it. Amen.